I am Beverly Sinclair. We are now coming to the end of this special interview on October 19 that was done with General Hudson Austin about 10 months ago. In this concluding segment, the former Army commander touches on the role he played in road construction, which was his specialty, before and during the birth of the Grenada Revolution on March 13, 1979.
Could you tell, because I know construction is your thing, could you tell me some of the other, you know, main road construction projects that you were involved in Grenada?
Road construction?
Some of the other major road construction projects. For instance, I know you had... down the road down in Chul by the barracks.
Yeah.
Because y'all actually use that road.
Yeah.
On the morning of March 13th.
Right.
So what were the other major projects you might have been involved in?
Road East Admiral Road. From Government Gate to Gabriel Town. Mm-hmm. I was involved early when I was a student in that nice piece of road you see going up to the other time there. That was used, that piece of road was used as a model for Grenada by Mr. Frank Lovett, who had a doctorate in engineering. I worked with him there and people like Harry Phillip and all the road officers. Right? Right? The road for the Gulf Coast up there, I did all those road. The Gulf Coast, lot of road.
Now, H.A., you have had a long association with the political life of this country. In looking back, what would you say would stand out in your mind? Okay, the question is, you have had a long association in the political life of this country.
Yeah.
Since the 60s coming up. And more so from the 70s when Jewel started. In looking back, what will you say stand out in your mind and you feel satisfied that you have done for the people of this country?
Well, you see, I was dissatisfied with GNP. Because I remember once raising some questions with Herbert Blaise about the education system in Canada and all of that. And a long discussion with him. Because George, a lot of the poor people children might have been bad children. Mm-hmm. But if they didn't get to pass a scholarship, they couldn't go to secondary school.
Nothing happened.
If they didn't get to pass a scholarship, they could go to secondary school. So I was telling them, well, why don't they set up special education for, well, special classes for primary school children, so that the children could get into secondary school. At the same time, the telephone rang, and my please tell me, he would remember me for we to continue that discussion, and it never happened. I was not satisfied with Gary and education because I feel Gary keep the people illiterate so they could vote for him. And I feel Herbert Blaise didn't care too damn about poor people, children and education. Because I remember also Ferguson. Remember Ferguson? Ferguson used to work at Herbert's and then he became a senator for a while. A young fella. We were in the party together. He was a youth man in the party, responsible for youth. And Foggy too said, I'm not interested in poor people education. He told me that openly. So I thought NGM could have been the answer. And it was the answer. Because George, when the revolution took place, one morning, I went in to see Morris. I didn't have anything special to see about him. Because I guess he used to call on Morris for me to talk. And me and Morris grew up together like. for the older them. And he called me the bedroom bill. He said, H.A., I have a few questions to ask you. He said, H.A., we are embarking in a new process. He said, Grenada is in a state. He said, all the roads in this country, Marshall. The schools in a bad way. The education system in a bad way. He said, H.A., tell me from the bottom of your heart, what is the first thing you would like to see the revolution do? And I look at him and I say, Morris, free secondary education. You have to make it free. I say, you have to recruit people who would know how to do it and how to draw plans and how to make secondary education free. The state pays for it. He said, Timber, you know, I never thought about that. He said, although we have it
in the manifesto,
free secondary education. He said, I never thought about recruiting capable people who would know how to do it. And that is how you see a lot of fellas came into Grenada from different countries. Like this boy who in the education business, Didikos Jules, and all these fellas was in Grenada. They were the architects. And again, the next thing I wanted to see it badly too, was a program for illiteracy, teaching everybody in the country to read and write.
The Center for Popular Education, CPE.
That is why they had the same Didikos Jules. Center for Popular Education. Do you know when the invasion came, Grenada was 98% literate? 98%! They say we had the second highest literacy in the world, after North Korea. And I didn't realize that North Korea was all of them. So you know, it's compulsory. Your children have to go to school. You know, George, in my life, I've never seen a country so clean, you know.
North Korea.
I wonder how the hell they will do it. What practice makes perfect, eh?
Yep, correct. Yes, H.A., so it was a wonderful interview. In a more relaxed H.A. We ain't talking the politics, you know, we do that already. So H.A., I really want to thank you for spending and finding the time to talk with us. As a matter of fact, this interview that you did there.
Yeah, I wanted to do this interview with somebody a long time. These kind of things with somebody a long time. But to me, most of the Grenadian journalists who are talking are getting cold feet. They want to do it.
Well.
But then I talking to you on politics and the revolution. I had no shibshanking for anybody, you know.
You say it as it is.
And I tell them the revolution making mistakes. One of the biggest mistakes was the detaining of people. Mm-hmm. I didn't like it at all. And too much people were detained for too much stupidness. I didn't like it.
Okay, Jay. Thank you so much.
Well, Jared, whenever I remember someone appoints and so that I want to talk.
Just call me.
Talk about?
Just call me.
I will call you.
Get me. Chuhan? And you have my, I'll give him a number. You have my number?
I have your number now.
Yeah, so just call me anytime.
Have it on that GW.
Don't let them lean on them see my number in your thing.
Who?
Don't let Lane and them see my number in your
if they see what I go do.
Okay, Chase.
Look, yeah, this me. Thing, George, mm. About man want to kill you and this and that, me, I don't care about that, you know.
Yeah, man, I ain't
bothering them. George, I operated on faith all my life, you know. You know, I used to be frightened and this and frightened and that, you know. You hear them want to come and search the church's house 30-something times? They don't come and search.
They come and they ain't get nothing. They came
I know it has some other about the job right now, about what are the discussions that I'm having with you.
Yes,
let them grumble.
Yes, I hear the grumbling.
If they so brave, come out and say a lie or prove a lie. Because I don't lie on people. You see, George, I grew up with a mother and father who told me, Hudson, never go wrong telling untruth about people or telling people untruth because it don't turn back on you. You see, especially with your friend, be straightforward with your friends. And you know what happened? At one time I used to tell my friends and them, what I had to deal with, do I deal with it straightforward? You know, so they used to call me Jules Foden. You know, I feel like going down to look at at a shop, you would be so Foden. And the name of the shop was straightforward. They used to call me straightforward.
All right, so AJ, it's 9 o'clock. I had to get back to home. So AJ, thank you so much.
I see you send back.
PNC.
No, I said I see you send back a copy of the last interview we had.
No, what happened is, I'll tell you what happened to that.
Huh?
I'm gonna print some things for you.
Don't okay. You see, I know computer, I don't know what I have, but open the fire.
Okay.
If I had computer, could I just send it online
yes,
for me?
Yes.
I lose all the computer, the scan, I'm a printer, I lose everything. Did you know I did a computer course while I was in prison?
Yes, you told me,
but right,
you tell a lot of people learn.
Huh?
You tell a lot of people learn on your computer.
I told you that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I got a diploma for my CS. And my son is going to do it.
Do the computer.
We do hope that all who listened to this special interview on October 19 with General Hudson Austin learned something about the 1979 to 1983 period of the Grenada Revolution, when Grenada became the only island in the English-speaking Caribbean to ever embark on the Marxist-Leninist system of development that sent shockwaves in many Western capitals, especially the United States. The three interviews which the general did with George Worm angered his revolutionary comrades to the point that virtually all of them cut ties and abandoned him because of his exposure of what really happened in the October 1983 tragedy, in which Prime Minister Maurice Bishop and three cabinet ministers were executed. The G-man also complained in the latter days of his life about how he was left financially broke by some comrades whom he had trusted with the money that he got after being released from prison, including a tidy sum that was left for him by one of his brothers who had died in Canada. The general continued to insist that history has wrongfully judged him as a mass murderer following the bloody executions on the fort 39 years ago, and often pleaded that he was innocent and that he was not involved in any decision-making to execute the Prime Minister and the others. The blame, he often said, should be put at the feet of Bernard Cord and his power-hungry and thirsty followers, Ewart Headache Lane, Liam Owusu James, John Chalky Venture, Phyllis Cord, and Leon Bogo Cornwall, for what happened in the final hour of the life of the Grenada Revolution. According to Austin, it was these five men and one woman who were linked to the clandestine group known as ORIL that attempted to seize power from Maurice Bishop, and that when the internal coup with NJM failed, they then turned around and used the guns of the revolution to kill people on the fort. The general maintains that if any central committee took the decision on October 19, 1983 to execute Bishop and the others, it was not that of the NJM, but it had to be the central committee of ORIL, led by their ideological leader, Bernard Cord. To date, General Austin has been the only one of the so-called Grenada 17 to come before the Grenadian people to specifically address the killings on the fort. In closing, special thanks to colleagues Teresa Daniel from St. Vincent and Valerie Thompson for their input into the three interviews that General Hudson Austin decided to give in order for the world to hear his side of the story. We end this October 19 special with the song Corfu, which was produced by one of Grenada's most acclaimed musicians, Eugene Gittens, in which you will hear excerpts from the radio address of General Hudson Austin, or the G-Man, on the night of October 19, 1983, the day that marked the death of the Grenada Revolution.
This morning I woke up in a
no one is to leave their house.
Oh Lord, I was a prisoner too. Oh Lord, could not recognize the faces standing over me. They were all dressed in uniforms of brutality.
People's Revolutionary Armed Forces have, as of 3 p.m. today, established a revolutionary military
before we can talk to the boss. All that we've got, it seems we have lost. We must have really paid the cost. That's why we're gonna be weeping and wailing tonight.
All schools are closed and all workplaces except for the essential services until further notice. No one is to leave their house. Anyone violating this curfew will be shot on sight. Shot on sight. No one is to leave their house. Anyone violating this curfew will be shot on sight.